All right. Good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It's Saturday, June 25th, 2022. And you are here for the Congregation of Prayer, Guide for Daily Meditation and Prayer on God's Word. Did I already say that? I don't know if I did. I don't even know what day it is. It's Saturday. Today, what we'll do is we're going to look at tomorrow's Old Testament and Epistle reading. There's some of my favorites, but I'm not actually going to be here to preach it. But Pastor Schetzel will do a great job, I'm sure. So look forward to that. Hopefully it'll be nice and cool. Well, it'll be earlier in the morning. Evening services, it gets a little warm here at church without the without any AC. And let's see, anything else special tomorrow? No Bible study tomorrow. I don't need him to cover for me on that. Not too worried about that, but we don't want to go a Sunday without Word and Sacrament, do you? No, of course not. All right. Let's see. Anything else? Nope. I think that'll be good. So let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, one more time on our memory verse. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. Micah 7, verse 18. All right, so there you have God's alien work, retaining his anger. No, not forever. His proper work, opus proprium, as we say in Latin, he delights in mercy. All right? How does God want to be known by you? As a God who delights in mercy. All right, which is really a theme that comes out in the parable for tomorrow, the gospel reading of the great banquet. So pay attention for that. All right, our psalm, we pray together. Remember your word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your just decrees from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked, who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me, that I have kept your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked ensnare me. I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your just and righteous decrees. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All right, our Old Testament reading. Oh, it's a lovely one from Proverbs 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat, she has mixed her wine, she has also furnished her table, she has sent out her maidens, she cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine that I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct the scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Okay, there's some conversation that could be had about the personification of wisdom as a feminine, because Jesus actually assumes the character of wisdom into himself. That doesn't mean that Jesus is feminine. He's certainly masculine, a boy, right? A man. But there's something about wisdom being his counterpart that maybe you could think of how wisdom is being described here as the church, right? And it is Jesus who builds the church, and the church is the feminine component, I suppose. We are the bride of Christ, right? And notice he sets out in the church a rich feast of wine and of meat, his body, blood, right? And he says, turn in here, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I've mixed, right? Forsake foolishness and live. It's foolish not to be at the Lord's table and to receive of his body and blood for your forgiveness, life, and salvation, right? Problem is that if you're a scoffer, it's not going to help. If you are unwilling to listen, these words seem fanciful or idle, like an idle tale. But for those who have faith, who have received Jesus and the Spirit so that they trust, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And you see, and you know, and you believe that, of course, it's wise to be in the house of the Lord tomorrow and to receive of the gifts that the Lord offers you there, the bread from heaven, his holy word, and his body and blood in the Holy Supper. All right. Of course, that will connect well with the parable of the great banquet, but that's the gospel reading for tomorrow. You'll have to wait for that. All right, and then our epistle tomorrow, and we're going to spend a little time on this, is from 1 John chapter 3. And you'll hear some echoes of last week, actually. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Is this right? This seems like the same reading we had last week. Let me confirm and make sure I got the right reading here. Let's see here. Second Sunday in Trinity. No, that is correct. All right. What did we have last week? Last week we had 1 John 4. That's why I'm confused. We went backwards a chapter. All right. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. All right. So last week when we talked about this text, we did mention that love belongs to the law. All right. And what we're talking about here is that the forgiveness of sins has its way with us, right? The Holy Spirit, working through the forgiveness of sins, the gospel proclaimed to us, changes us, right? So that we live not only in word and in tongue, but in deed, word in our ears, tongue, confession, but also in deed and in truth, right? So he's talking about how those who claim to have received Christ and yet deny love to their neighbor, they're actually denying the Christ whom they've received. Right, you see this with the parable of the unforgiving servant, right? Where the master forgives some outrageous amount of debt. It's something like, I want to say it's like 700 pounds of gold, basically, which is, I don't even know how many bajillions of dollars, okay? And then he goes and refuses to forgive his brother just a small amount of money, right? So did he really receive the forgiveness from his master? Only in word, but not actually in truth, right? And that's how our Lutheran Confessions uses this text, actually. It would be in the righteousness of faith before God, right? That we are righteous by faith, meaning God declares us righteousness. Righteousness looks down from heaven, as we say in the psalm, right? But faithfulness is upward, right? So we teach, this is Augsburg Confession, I think. No, Formula of Concord, Article 3. We teach that through the Holy Spirit's work, we are born anew and justified. But the sense is not that after regeneration, no unrighteousness clings anymore to the justified and regenerate in their being and life. It means that Christ covers all their sins, which in this life still dwell in nature, with his complete obedience. All right, so our sins are forgiven, not our sins are taken away in a sense that we never sin again. We're still in the flesh, right? But our sins are continually covered through Christ's declaration of forgiveness. And all of our works are filthy rags, as we heard yesterday, right? In repentance regarding John the Baptist. But despite this, they are declared and regarded godly and righteous by faith and for the sake of Christ's obedience, which Christ rendered to the Father for us from his birth to his most humiliating death on the cross. Still, because of their corrupt nature, they are and will remain sinners to the grave. Nor, on the other hand, is this the meaning. Without repentance, conversion, and renewal, we can or should yield to sins and remain and continue in them. All right, so that's often the countervailing argument. Well, you're saying if you remain a sinner, and then there's no change. And if there's no change, then you might as well just keep on sinning, right? Well, no, of course not. True contrition must come first. And then out of pure grace, that is giving, for the sake of the only mediator, Christ, without any works and merit, people are righteous before God in the way stated above. That is, they are received into grace. Here's the key. The Holy Spirit is also given to them. He renews and sanctifies them and works in them love for God and for their neighbor. But the beginning of renewal is imperfect in this life, all the way from birth to death. Sin still dwells in the flesh, even in the regenerate. Therefore, the righteousness of faith before God comes from the free crediting of Christ's righteousness without the addition of our works. All right? We are righteous by faith without works. I'm just quoting Romans 4 here. So our sins are forgiven us and covered and are not charged against us. All right? So again, you're asking, though, well, what about love? All right, we're getting there. If the article of justification is to remain pure, the greatest attention must be given with special diligence. Otherwise, what comes before faith and what follows after it will be all mixed together or inserted into the article of justification as necessary and belonging to it. All right, so these are just categorical distinctions. That is, being right before God is categorically called justification, and it is received by faith as a free gift without any works, being made right with God. Now, we're not talking, that doesn't mean the Christian has no good works, right? But they don't credit, they don't merit us before God. And before God, we plead guilty of all sins. That everything that we do is sinful, all right? Before God. Where did we go? Mixed together. For it is not one and the same thing to talk about conversion and talk about justification. Not everything that belongs to conversion also belongs to the article of justification, all right? So categorical distinctions here. Only God's grace, Christ's merit, and faith belong and are necessary to the article of justification, right? We're going to keep being made right before God, our righteousness by faith before God, distinct from the rest that the Holy Spirit works, but we're getting there. Faith receives these blessings in the promise of the gospel, by which Christ's righteousness is credited to us. For this we receive and have forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God, sonship, and are made heirs of eternal life. Good. All a gift. True saving faith is not in people who lack contrition and sorrow, and who have a wicked plan to remain and continue in sins. Right? So that's a rejection of the faith worked by the Holy Spirit, is to continue, to have a plan to continue and remain in sins. But true contrition comes first, worked by the Spirit, and genuine faith is in or with true repentance. All right, now to love. Love is a fruit, right? So we have to be made a good tree so that we bear good fruit, to quote Jesus on this. Love, so we're made the tree by his death for us on the tree, and then he bears fruit in us. He works fruit in us by his Spirit, right? They're fruits of the Spirit. Love is a fruit that surely and necessarily also follows true faith. Surely and necessarily. The fact that a person does not love is a sure sign that he is not justified. He is still in death or has lost the righteousness of faith again, as John says, 1 John 3:14. But Paul says, quote, "For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." He shows that neither the contrition that comes first nor the works that follow belong in the article or action of justification by faith. So neither contrition, our sorrow over sin, nor our good works that follow, belong in the article of justification. A person must first be justified before he can do any good works. All right? And again, those works aren't his. They're not credited to him for righteousness, right? Faith is credited to us for righteousness, faith in Jesus, right? And our good works are a fruit of that faith, for the benefit of our neighbor. In the same way, renewal and sanctification do not belong in the article or matter of justification before God, even though it is a benefit of the mediator Christ and a work of the Holy Spirit. Right? So we're not saying that Christians aren't renewed and made holy by Christ Jesus through his blood and a work of the Spirit, but that is not justification. Sanctification follows justification. Since, on account of our corrupt flesh, sanctification is not entirely perfect or complete in this life. All right? So Every day, we must hear that our sins are forgiven freely for the sake of Christ and given to us as a gift worked in us by the by faith, by the Holy Spirit. All right? Justified, made right with God each and every day because, of course, the flesh still clings to us. And then the Spirit working through that justification now sanctifies us, makes us holy, right? Declares us set apart as God's own people, even though that's never perfect in this life, right? Dr. Luther writes well about this in the Epistle to the Galatians, but I won't quote you the long list. All right. So maybe this. Yeah, that's good enough on that. All right. So this is an important thing. Definitions of words matter, contrary to what you hear in our culture today. You know, you can just redefine words and just cast off the accepted definition of words. Categories matter as well, right? And categories get attacked as much as definitions of words. Gender, for example, male and female and neuter, right? The language gets attacked in order to attack the biology, the actual categorical biological distinctions between male and female, right? And this happens in theology all the time, is that the categories are blurred in order to manipulate and control and, I don't know, manipulate, control, what's another word? Really terrorize people into being better people. It usually just means giving more money to church, right? But here, we as confessing Christians, according to the Lutheran Confession, explicitly state and need to remind people constantly that everything we receive is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Even the new life of faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit worked in us. Even love for our neighbor by the law, that's a work of the Spirit, incomplete, imperfect in us, right? So, yes, is your love for your neighbor incomplete? Is it imperfect? Of course it is, right? Is that what John is demanding here? No. But what is he saying? If he shuts up his heart from his neighbor, what is he saying? There's no repentance either. There's no confession of sin. There's no seeking the Lord's forgiveness, right? So that he, by the Spirit, renews love for neighbor, right? This is what the Christian life looks like. He sees his neighbor in need. He takes care of them. If he doesn't, he recognizes that. It goes on his conscience, right? His conscience is pricked by the law, right? He goes, he confesses to his pastor. He hears the word of absolution, right? And then the Spirit works amendment of heart, right? That he loves his neighbor more and more. If you're having difficulty, this happens frequently, actually, if you're having difficulty loving the ones whom the Lord has put near you, your neighbors, whether physically, like next-door neighbors, or in your family, or whatnot, if you're having difficulty with that, that's the sinful flesh. It's something to confess. Come to me. Say, I'm sorry. I'm really having a hard time loving my neighbor. I say, I forgive you in the name of Jesus. I say that to you now. I forgive you in the name of Jesus, right? Go and sin no more, as Jesus says. Well, I can't do that. No, you can't. The Holy Spirit will work that in you. He'll even give you the words to say. He'll even give you the opportunity to act. And you won't even notice you're acting if, of course, your life is a life of confession and absolution, sorrow over sin, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins. All right, good. Is it perfect in this life? No. Are you ever going to do this, you know, well, completely? No, right? But that shouldn't, what do you say? Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, right? It is good to love your neighbor, to love those whom the Lord has given you, to serve them according to the law. And where you fall short, of course, that's the law doing its work, right? To show you your sin so that you again seek Christ for forgiveness. Namely, in the gifts that he has set up for forgiveness, in the merits feast of the Lamb, that is the Holy Supper, which he even puts forgiveness into your mouth in his body and blood under bread and wine. All right. So there you go. A little bit on love. A little more on love, I guess. Fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. We say it one more time this week. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does this mean? We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them, but we ask that he would give them all to us by grace. For we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. All right, let's sing our hymn. Today your mercy calls us.
Today your mercy calls us to wash away our sin. However great our trespass, whatever we have been, however long from mercy our hearts have turned away, your precious blood can wash us and make us clean today. Today your gate is open, and all who enter in shall find a Father's welcome and pardon for their sin. The past shall be forgotten, a present joy be given, a future grace be promised, a glorious crown in heaven. Today our Father calls us, his Holy Spirit waits. Blessed angels gather around the heavenly gates. No question will be asked us how often we have come. Although we oft have wandered, it is our Father's home. O all-embracing mercy, O ever-open door, what should we do without you when heart and eye run o'er? When all things seem against us to drive us to despair, we know one gate is open, one ear will hear our prayer.
All right. Today is actually commemoration. I think it's actually the anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. Rather than October 31st, 1517, the 95 Theses, I really prefer June 25th, 1530. This is when we should celebrate the Reformation. It is the presentation of the Augsburg Confession, which is the constitution of the Lutheran Church, theological one. All right. The Augsburg Confession, the principal doctrinal statement of the theology of Martin Luther and the Lutheran Reformers, was written largely by Philip Melanchthon. At its heart, it confesses the justification of sinners by grace alone, through faith alone, for the sake of Christ alone, as we talked about. Signed by the leaders of many German cities and regions, the confession was formally presented to the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V at Augsburg, Germany, on June 25, 1530. A few weeks later, Roman Catholic authorities rejected the confession, which Melanchthon defended in the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, the defense, if you prefer, 1531. In 1580, the unaltered Augsburg Confession was included in the Book of Concord. All right. Let's pray our collect for the week. O God, the strength of all who trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because through the weakness of our mortal nature we can do no good thing, grant us your grace to keep your commandments, that we may please you in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray this day for faithfulness to the end, for the renewal of those who are withering in the faith or have fallen away, for pastors as they prepare to administer Christ's holy gifts, and for receptive hearts and minds on the Lord's day. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. We pray for Tanya, Ed and Bev, Paul, Courtney, and Sam. We pray for those who are ill, receiving treatment, or recovering, especially Marcella, Bev, Kelsey, Dorothy, Amanda, Dan, Brad, and Janet, Timothy, Pastor Kretschmar, Merlin, and Jim. Pray for our homebound, Bev, Willis, Ed, Mickey, and Paul. Pray for the missions and mercy work of the church, especially Sheboygan Hispanic Ministry. And we ask for the preservation and increase of patience among us. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right, it's been a joy to have you with us here on this Saturday. Tomorrow, Divine Service, 9:30 a.m., a guest preacher. I'm sure he'll do well. He's well-seasoned. I love those well-seasoned pastors. I hope you appreciate that. Be gentle to him and kind. He doesn't have an organist, so that's going to be a little bit of a trick, right, to make sure it works. But yeah, we've got some action maybe on that front to help us come fall. All right, let's see, anything else? Nope, I think that's it. So I wish you well, and we'll see you again on Monday. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.